continuing with the I believe, the church core beliefs, and I believe in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, God's Son, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. From the very beginning of time, God, the eternal sovereign, wanted us to know him. So he displayed his character in nature. We learn from Romans, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So God revealed himself in nature. He also revealed himself in his Son. Hebrews tells us, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. So he showed himself in Jesus. But knowing the existence of God is not enough. God created us to live in relationship with him. So he took the initiative to bridge the gap. Holy God, sinful man. God sent his only perfect Son to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived a perfectly righteous life in complete relationship with God, his Father, and then took upon himself the punishment that we deserved. He took upon himself all that our disobedience deserves. And at the cross, he fulfilled all that righteousness demanded, his life given in exchange for mine. Through the righteousness of Christ, I am made right with God. But why the virgin birth? God chose a virgin, poor, young, female. She was virtually invisible. She had no prestige, no power, no voice. What did she bring? Two things: humility and belief. We read in Luke, her cousin Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And then her response, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices within me in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. In other words, he has seen me. And the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. So how does that affect me? God sees me. I need only respond in belief and humility. Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. I've been set free. I'm no longer in bondage to the fear of death or the punishment of death. More than that, I have a future in God's heavenly kingdom. Also, I've been set free from the burden of religion with all its righteous requirements. Emmanuel, God with us, invites me into this living relationship with Jesus in his ever-present kingdom. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, a place of belonging, a place of acceptance, no more striving, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whatever the circumstances, and there are many around us, I have the privilege and the opportunity to walk in the yoke with Jesus step by step through this life today, experiencing Jesus and experiencing grace and peace which he gives in abundance.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading John 14, verse 15 through 31 from the New International Version Bible. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than. Have I told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe? I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." This is the word of the Lord for us today.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks, Jim. Been in the ministry long enough to know that there are a lot of holidays, many holidays I love talking about. Christmas, Easter, are sort of slam dunks. You know what to do, you know what people are expecting. This is one, over 30 years of ministry, I really try to avoid as much as possible, especially when Valentine's Day falls on Sunday as it does today. Because they have more people over the years who get upset when you don't talk about love on Valentine's Day. And usually is this from this perspective, and I will say this is a huge generalization, I admit it up front, I claim it is mine that over the 30 years, most of the time it is women who want you to talk about love on Valentine's Day. The sub-message usually is something like this, though. My husband doesn't appreciate me. I'm overlooked, overworked, and underappreciated. So you really need to talk about love. So I'm not going to talk about it with him, so you do it. Or in the half the chance that a guy talks to you about, you know, preaching about love on Valentine's Day, usually the subtext is, well, I'm not getting enough sex in my marriage, so you really need to talk to my wife about it from the pulpit. We're not going to do either one of those today. Because what those people usually forget is, on days like this, they forget about the singles. Divorced, widowed, people who don't have somebody right now, and how difficult a holiday like this is. Especially from the context of love, as our culture puts in the context of love, the understanding of love. It is the most exploited emotion and the most overpaid one on this holiday. Flowers that cost $1 tomorrow cost $10 today to give to somebody. And it's now turned into a week-long holiday. Every day this past week, you're supposed to do something special for that person that you say you love. Love is the emotion we most want expressed, but we understand so little and demonstrate so poorly. And just talking about it one day a year doesn't overcome the 364 days a year where we express it and show it so poorly. So we're talking about love today, but as Jesus talks about love in John chapter 14, and again next week in John chapter 15, because here Jesus directly ties love not to an emotion or a feeling, but to an action. And here's a verse. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, most of us find love, when we hear it expressed this way, as a conditional statement. If you love me, you will take out the trash. If you love me, you will do this. If you love me, but here Jesus takes no qualms about making it conditional. If you love me, you will obey what I command. He makes it pretty clear and unequivocal. See, Jesus directly ties love, the state of being, not the emotion, not the feeling, but my state of being, to obedience. And he uses this word here, again, we talk about in the church a lot, called agape. It is a word describing love that is rarely, if ever, found in any other Greek literature of the time, because it is unique to the Christian and the relationship with God, because it's a unique kind of love that God is talking about here, because it flows out of his very character and nature. If you have this type of love in your heart, you have it because this is the type of love that God is. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, John says, same John, decades later, dear friends, let's love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. And here's the statement. Because God is love. Not the sappy, emotional, hearts and candy love, but the kind of love that changes who we are and how we express ourselves to one another. It is a love that says, I will always want the best for you. I will always act in your best interest, even if it means a sacrifice on my part. And here's that piece of it. I will show my love for you, even if it means I have to sacrifice something on my part for you. That's the kind of love that God's talking about here. Because it's what God did for us. Paul said it. You know, while we are still sinners, Christ died. He acted. He sacrificed himself for us. And Jesus says, if you have this kind of love for me, this kind of love, you'll obey what I command you. You'll do what I say. See, there's no conditional love on God's part. He says, God gave. God so loved, he gave. See, we make love conditional. I will love you if, and God says, no, I love you and I give. To you. I gave for you. The last line of the old hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, that sacrificial giving, my life, my all. That's the love that Jesus is talking about here, that we are to demonstrate for one another and for God. Because that's the kind of love that God has demonstrated for us. But, again, he sort of seems to make this love as conditional. If you love me, you will obey. So, it raises the question, so what am I supposed to obey? Verse 34. Jesus again. A new command I give you. And here it is. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, say this, by this, say it again, by this, by this, by this, all men, all people, all women will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons in the past, teachings in the past, where people will tie this verse to say, well, what he's talking about, if you love God, you would attend church more. You know, if you love God, you'd read your Bible more. If you love God, you would pray more. If you love God, you would be a junior high leader. If you really love God, that's not what he's saying here. Sure, you may do some of those things. But Jesus immediately and directly ties our love for God with practical, sacrificial, tangible acts of love towards one another in God's family. Three times in this verse alone, and other times in these chapters, he says it, but here, three times alone, if you love me, you'll love each other. And you do it in such a way that the rest of the world stands up and take notice. And the kind of love that we are doing, the kind of love that we are demonstrating, is so countercultural that people looking from the outside in can't understand why we're doing it. Because it is so different than kind of love that other people know. All will know you are my disciples if you are doing this, if you are practicing, if you are demonstrating this kind of love for each other. The kind of love that puts the other person in front of you. The kind of love that elevates the other person before you. The kind of love in which you are willing to sacrifice your life, all that you have and all that you are for the benefit of another. That's how the other church, the early church, thrived and grew. The Roman philosophers would say, we can't do what they're doing. These people, these Christians over here, they're fasting. They're not eating for 3 or 4 days, and they're giving that food to people who don't have food. We can't do that in our culture. Our people are only look out for themselves. Why do they do that? See, but it's nobody but Jesus can take that kind of love and put it into sustained action. Stephen's ministry. It is sustained action, caring for somebody over the long haul. Not just I bring a lasagna to you today because something happened in your life, but it's that one-on-one long haul relationship with somebody to get them through that chapter of their life. It's the kind of love that says, I will keep doing this. And oh, by the way, I'm not going to remind you that I keep doing this, because we have people who do that too. Yeah, I will do things for you, but I'm going to make sure you know what I'm doing for you, and I will remind you about it as often as I can. That kind of sacrificial, self-giving, selfless kind of love, because that's what God has done for us. And isn't that a better Valentine's gift than a $100 box of chocolate? Or of red flowers, or one night out of sex out of guilt, or the kind of love that's demonstrated in manufactured relationships and TV shows. I won't ask people for a poll how many people watch shows like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and those things. I did some research this week. I've never watched the show. I will admit that fully up front. I've never watched any of those kinds of shows. They're just not for me. If you watch them, I won't say anything about it. But I did some research this week. Out of the 24 seasons of those shows where perfect people find perfect people for a perfect relationship that are lasting a lifetime, out of the 24 seasons, there's only two couples that are still together. But yet that's the kind of love we're told in our society that we should have for each other. This isn't what Jesus is talking about. See, when I am loved to action, when I'm loved to sacrificial action, my life is changed, and somebody else's is as well. Jesus said, I love you enough to act on your behalf. I love you enough to act with great sacrifice to myself so that your life can be changed, can be different. That's what he's talking about here. If you love me this way, If you demonstrate that kind of love for one another, people are going to notice. And they're going to be drawn to it. And they're going to question. They're going to ask, how can you do that? Why you do that? You say, because I'm a disciple of Jesus. Let me tell you about that. Now, the sacrifice Jesus made for us was his life on the cross, dying on the cross for our sins. So you say, well, I can't do that. Well, Jesus gave some very, very practical things that you and I can do to show that kind of love to one another. So here's just a little punch list of Jesus' love in action for you this week on this Valentine's Day. First of all, Jesus prays and asks God for the best in my life. He prays and asks God for the very best in my life. He goes to the Father and asks on my behalf to give me what I need. How do I pray for other people? For the people I like, do I pray for them differently than the people I don't like? God bless them versus God curse them. There's a whole lot of cursing going on these past months for people. But Jesus' prayer to the Father is, God, give them the best that they need for their life. Earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, pray for your enemies, bless them, don't curse them. He says, I will ask God to give you the best counselor and counsel he can, the Holy Spirit. He prays and asks God for the best for our lives. Secondly, he provides a personal preference. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. You're not going to be alone. I will come to you. See, love in action for Jesus means that we're hanging in with somebody for the long haul. To walk with them through the dark times for the long haul. Jesus, personal presence. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come back. His love in action is for something we can do too. See, he always points people back to God's principles. Verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, again, he will obey my teaching. See, the love that Jesus talks about here isn't a love that says, well, go ahead, do whatever you want. You know, who am I to judge? He says, no, man, I love you so much that there are standards, there are practices, there are things that you need to know, that God wants you to know, that are the best things in your life. Accountability is tough, but it's necessary. So Jesus' love in action for us is holding us accountable to what God says is the best for our life, and it's something we can do for each other. With the right heart, with the right attitude, in the right way, at the right time. It's not pointing the finger at somebody immediately, but saying, my brother, my sister, do you know what you're doing with your life? This is what God intends for your life. Can we talk about this? The right way, at the right time, with the right heart, with the right attitude. He also promises partnership, verse 26. But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you and remind you of everything I have said. Jesus says, I love you enough, I'm going to send you a partner to walk alongside of you. You're the Holy Spirit, God himself living within us. He will be there to guide you into all things, to help you in all things, to teach you all things. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He says again, don't be afraid. Have peace because the Holy Spirit, your partner in living the life God wants you to live, is with you all the time. It is interesting at the very end of this chapter, after all this, the next stop for Jesus is the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to the disciples, come, let's all leave together. So often when we see people struggling, our tendency is to stay away from them, to hold them at arm's length, because it's hard to walk through somebody with somebody who's struggling. And Jesus, knowing his own struggles he's about to face, also knows the struggles that his disciples will be facing in this next critical hours of their life with him. He knows the rebellion. He'll know that he knows the rejection. He knows all that they will go through. But he says, come, let's do this together. Let's walk through this chapter together. See, Jesus' love and action for the disciples was so strong that he invited them to walk through the pain with him. And he was willing to walk through their pain with them as well. This kind of love and action, by this, the verse says again, by this all will know you are my disciples, that you love one another. Love and action means that I can sit and worship and serve and live with somebody who thinks differently than I am, looks differently than I am, behaves differently than I am. But I do that because of the residing presence of God's Spirit with me. I do that because I am united. We are united. We are tied to one another as God's family with each other. And the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of people of all sorts, of from different chapters of life, economically, sociologically, politically, all different chapters of life. And yet, Jesus says, but you're all tied together by this kind of sacrificial love for each other, because that's the kind of love I have shown to you. And in our demonstration of that kind of love with each other, the world looks in and says, that's what we want. We see each other at odds in our culture. That's what I want. We see each other fighting in our culture. That's what I want. We see each other holding grudges against each other. I look at the church. That's what I want. See, as we demonstrate, live this reality of this kind of love, Jesus says you not only change each other, but you change yourselves. You understand God's heart a little bit better. And also, you become a witness for those looking outside saying, I don't know what they have, but I want it. And I need that kind of love in my life. And that's our opportunity to say, let me tell you about God's love. Let me show you God's love. It is our chance for people to walk and say, there goes a true follower of Jesus, because I see that kind of love in their life. Let's pray. Lord, we so often settle for shadows of what's best. And we talk about love, and sometimes again we settle for the shadow of what's best. I pray you'd help us to enjoy the very best of what it means to love as you have loved us, not only in our relationship with you, but also in demonstrating that relationship to each other in practical, tangible ways, which sometimes costs us something in doing so. But in doing so, God, I know that I am modeling, I am putting into practice what you have put into practice for me each and every day. And as I do so, I not only elevate someone else's life, but I elevate my own as well as I draw closer to you. So help us, God, to be a place, to be a people who show our culture or our families what true love looks like. And it's not in a 12-week sitcom, a reality show. But it's in this kind of sacrificial love shown to us, walk for us in the life of Jesus. So help us to take that and help us to be changed by that this week and change others as well. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.